Welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap we just love to watch on ye old Bravo television. I'm Ben Mandelker of The Real Housewares of Kitchen Island and also the Game Brain podcast. Joining me as well is a wonderful, lovable, joyful man named Ronnie Karam. What's going on, Ronnie?
Well, hello, Ben.
How are you? Are you excited for tonight? Because tonight it's a big show.
I am excited. I'm so excited. After this, I'm going to shave and I'm going to take a shower. Which is, you know, that's big news in my life during this corona time.
Oh, well, I got a ring light. So normally I'm lit by my IKEA lamp and it's low lumen light bulb. But now there's a ring light, so hopefully I'll have a nice glow about me. Because, by the way, what we're talking about is tonight we have our big virtual live show, like our first really, truly big one. And it's going to be at 9 p.m. on the East Coast and 6 p.m. on the West Coast. And it's we are recapping last night's series premiere of The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. We also have a special guest at the top of the show. It's going to be super fun. You can buy your tickets now, only a few hours left before this all starts. And it's going to be really cool. You can interact with other audience members. You can interact with us. We're just going to have fun with it. We're just going to have a fun time. And, you know, we haven't been able to go on the road in months. And this is obviously not going on the road, but we always really, really enjoy when we can do something with the Crappens peeps, when we can all come together from wherever we are across the country right now and like put all the crap that's going on in the world and in 2020 to the side, and we can just like all be together, all share this thing that we love, which is making fun of dumb people on Bravo. So get your tickets while you can on locationlive.com/watchwhatcrappens, or just go to watchcrappens.com. The link is literally right there if you can't remember the other URL. And hopefully we're going to see a bunch of you tonight, and we're just going to have a fun time. And some people online, by the way, we're talking about creating a signature cocktail for this, which I think is great. I don't know what it's going to be, but I'm like excited for that. And also there's a Facebook
water
event. Yeah, there's a Facebook event that you can RSVP to just to see who else is going to be coming, so that way you can like coordinate if you want to like set up like watch parties or whatever. So it's going to be so fun.
Yeah, good times. We're excited. We will see you tonight. And if you don't catch it tonight, you can watch it for the next couple of days with a ticket. And now it's Real Housewives of Orange County. My hip! New hip!
New hip! New hip. I'll tell you what's hip. Cornhole. The episode.
Cornhole. The episode. Lots of holes.
Lots of.
There's cornhole, and then they show yoga butts.
Yoga
they
butts.
Show people doing yoga. It's a very hole-centric episode.
But it's not.
Real Housewives.
You know what's good about the Real Housewives of Orange County? You get to have different perspectives. You get to know what it's like to be someone else. So, for example, have you ever wondered what it must be like to be a cornhole board? You ever wonder what it's like to have a beanbag just thrown right at your face? Well, I mean, some of us have had that happen. But this episode opens with a camera inside the cornhole. It's very exciting.
Yes, and they're getting really crazy with their artistry in this opening part.
Yes.
Because they do the close-up of that, then we get a super close-up of yoga butts, and then the camera is right behind a man's calf as he rides a bike.
Mm-hmm.
It's really weird, and it just focuses on that. And then we see the PCH freeway sign go across the screen, and it's like green screened or something.
Yeah, they actually had to do it. They actually had to superimpose it. Like someone had to go there and like key out all the background. I was like, wow, did someone call Industrial Light and Magic? Because this is a special effect.
E.T. flies across the screen and on a bike.
A dinosaur just like runs through. Oh gosh, there's someone at my door. Of course there's someone at my door.
Oh. No,
that's all. Well, they're just going to have to deal with it. I don't know. They're going to have to.
Yeah, that's what happens when nobody is home. Okay.
I'm sorry. Leave the package at the doorstep.
Did you leave?
No, I'm here.
Yeah.
Listen.
So close up of Buddy and Fisker, Emily's cats. She's like, oh, I hate cleaning the litter box.
And then Emily is like, oh, you really poop a lot for a cat. And then she's taking the cat poop and she's like scooping it into a Louis Vuitton bag. Not an actual Louis Vuitton bag, but like a paper bag that you would get if you were going
the paper bag.
To get like tchotchkes from Louis Vuitton.
Still, so then Emily and Gina are FaceTiming, and Emily's like, where are you? It looks like Costco. It's like, even better, Walmart. I do not watch a show to see people going to fucking Walmart. Okay, casting?
Are we, like, did I accidentally tune into TLC? Like, hello, this is Bravo. This is Bravo.
It is very TLC, and Gina's the new musical guest, because she's got, like, a big baseball cap from the early 90s kind of sideways.
Yeah.
I don't know what's happening with Gina, but I need it to stop, okay? She's very nice. She's going through a rough time. Have her do it on TLC, okay? Yeah.
Her brand is TLC.
This is Bravo.
I think we need a Susie Fogelson, formerly of the Food Network and Food Network star, to sit down with Gina and say, Gina, we love what you're doing here. We feel like you're really not our brand anymore. And then just like send her to TLC.
Yeah. So Emily's like, I didn't know there was anything better than Costco.
Oh yeah, you're right, because at Costco they feed you.
And you can get a good like hot dog and a soda for $1.50.
Yeah. So Emily's like, well, Bronwyn came to Kelly's house when I was hanging out over there, and I have never felt compassion for her like I did that moment. Now, of course, when she said she was going through alcoholism, zero compassion. Or when she said she wasn't really sure that she was feeling up to anything, no compassion at all. But then when she admitted that she judged you meanly, I really felt compassion.
Yeah, I was like, okay. I was like, what about, I mean, just like, now you feel the compassion. The poor woman is like, like going through like the growing pains of sobriety. So then Gina's like, well, that's nice, but she's got to learn to stand up without Sean. I was like, what? Bronwyn, I don't feel like Bronwyn is like the poster child of someone who needs Sean to fight her fights. I think like Sean defended her after she left, but I don't think it's like oh my god, Bronwyn never fights unless Sean's there. I don't know. I thought that was irrational of Gina.
Yeah, but she's still mad that Sean got in her face at that party.
Yeah.
And Emily's like, well, I think that Sean's a really great guy and a good dad, but like, why isn't he having some sort of intervention with his wife? Use different terminology.
No, seriously.
What is going on with Emily?
I know. New hip. She says it right in the opening credits, Ronnie. So Gina's like, well, you know what? I'm still having emotional responses from what I went through. And of course, what I'm talking about is finding a parking spot outside Walmart. It was really hard. And now having someone picking on me and coming at me is like, it's not okay, okay?
It's like, well, it's not personal. She goes, yeah, because I'm exposing truth she doesn't want to deal with. And Emily's like, yeah, I mean, like, she even said that she didn't like me last year because I called her out on her drinking. So, and Gina's like, yeah, obviously she has a hard time having a relationship with people who aren't just going to say, oh, you're fun, you're funny.
Hold on 1 second. Oh, sorry, I just got trampled by an early Black Friday crowd. Okay, I'm back.
I don't like inauthentic people.
I'm like, well, you're on the wrong show for that.
Yeah, you live in Newport now, so
you're in the wrong county and the wrong TV show.
Yeah.
So
Gina's like, and Saturday, like a vow renewal, what's even the point of that? Like, I don't want to have a fist fight in AA. Oh no, she's talking about the AA date. She's like, I don't want to have a fist fight in AA.
No. So she's like, I mean, I'll just get it out here in Walmart, okay? I'll just get it out of my system here. So then we go over to Bronwyn's house, and Sean and their son Jacob are running upstairs, and a stylist has come down to Orange County with a bunch of drag outfits because Jacob is dabbling in drag, which is really, really exciting for him. And he apparently at Christmas, he asked for heels, which was sort of the way he broke this to his family. And Bronwyn tells us that ever since he was a baby, he loved fashion, and he would wear dresses and stroll around in Target in dresses and stuff like that. So
yeah, and so he goes to get changed, and she's like, I asked him, what does this mean to you? Is it pageantry? Is it gender? And he said, I don't know. I mean, what he does know is he has a family that loves him the way he is, which I think is great. But if you're going to do drag, part of the fun of drag is making your shit. Not having your mom buy you gorgeous things and having a stylist, okay? Drag is not having a stylist.
That's a very good
You better
point.
Get him a fucking glue gun and some scissors, okay? If you want.
This feels like a fairy tale, right? Like he thought he was the drag queen, but then the Wicked Witch comes along, and then he's like expelled to, I don't know, like Bakersfield, where he has no access to his mom's wealth and must make his drag costumes by whatever scraps he finds.
Yeah.
Something like
yeah,
that.
You better get Jacob used to crafting, okay? This is drag, lady.
There we go. That's a good note, Ronnie. That's a good note.
Well, it's part of the fun. It's the creativity of it, you know? Yeah. So anyway, she buys him all, or she has a bunch of gorgeous outfits for him to try on. And so he does like a little fashion show for them. And he tells us, by the way, very pretty with a full face of makeup. He gets his own little testimonial diary room session.
Like he has, I mean, his hair is great. He's going to have so much fun with that hair.
Yeah, and he looks really pretty. And he's like, well, I want to do drag because it's kind of therapy. Like, he's very much part of this family. This family is, like, super wanting everything on camera at all times. Like, yeah. They really put everything out there. And they're a reality family, so, I mean... Go for it. But he's very, like, he seems like he's been sitting in this chair in his mind for a long time. Because he's like, you know, it unlocks a different part of yourself that makes you stronger. And I had a incredibly bad depression, and drag really pulled me out of that, you know? I'm like, wow, you are really built. This whole family is built for the telly.
Yeah, Jacob is like, yeah, you know, it's just it makes you stronger and more aware of who you are, and... You know, in those moments when you're wearing a dress and you're all dressed up and everything, you can forget that you live in Orange County.
Yeah. You forget the struggles of living in a rented house. You know? Really changes things.
You forget that you live in this county that is someday. So he is like, my favorite part about this is watching Sean trying to be cool dad. He reminded me of in Love, Simon. Was it Love? It's called Love, Simon, right? Dear Simon, Love, Simon. Whatever it is. Yeah. What is that wonderful little movie, that teen movie that's now a TV show? Either way, Love, Simon, Dear Simon, whatever Simon. Josh Duhamel plays Simon's dad. Hello, hot dad. And, like, Josh Duhamel is trying to be, like cool with Simon, like, because Simon's gay. He's, like, a gay teenager. He's, like, trying to, like, be, like, cool dad with it. And Sean is so that dad. He's like, cool, fierce. You know, he doesn't say it fierce, but he has that energy. And at one point... Bronwyn says to Jacob, she goes, you know, with some hair and makeup, you're going to be the prettiest princess. And then Rowan goes, no, the baddest queen. And then Sean goes, baddest queen. Baddest queen. Yes. Yes, queen. Yes, baddest queen, fierce.
Yes, baddest queen. I grew up in the wrong decade, I'll tell you that. I mean, if I grew up in this decade, wow, just imagine what I'd be. At this point, I love it. I'm jealous. I'm actually jealous that Jacob is growing up in this decade. We know it's going to be super dramatic now because it's silence on the beach. It's the Big Little Lies part where it's like crashing waves. There will be no close-ups of cornhole for this scene.
The only sign that you're going to see superimposed with industrial light and magic budget is going to be a sign that says, do not enter. Because there's emotional entanglements ahead.
Yes. So Gina goes to her lawyer, Mike, and he's like, nice to see you, Gina. She's like, oh, always nice to see you, Mike.
So 3 months until she gets her driver's license back from her DUI, and they're talking about that and how Travis has to drive her everywhere and how she had to do for all this community service of shoveling animal shit around. She's like, that's no big deal. I've been shoveling shit for like 3 years because I got kids, you know? it becomes a very serious scene about the domestic violence that she endured with Matt last year. And that there's a law called Marcy's Law where part of that is, victims or survivors of domestic abuse and violence, can make a statement sort of detailing the impact that the violence had in their life. And so she's presented with this opportunity to make this statement.
Yeah, and she's like, you know, it's hard because I feel so bad, but, you know, it just feels like so long ago. Basically, she's worried that she's getting along really well with Matt now, and that to dredge all that up again and make him, you know, sit through that in court or whatever is going to make it worse. And Mike's like, well, it might help him in the long run. And she, you know, that's a...
Yeah, she's basically scared. She's scared to do it because she's like, the situation's good now. Which is also, like, it's fucked up because it's like, he's, in a certain way, Matt is still calling the shots. So that's, you know, it's like, okay. That's I felt for her in that situation.
Yeah.
So
yeah, because that's tough. Because she's got the guilt of like, what is this going to do to the kids and blah blah blah. Right. But guess what? He did that.
Yeah.
Okay, not you.
And this episode's all about what are the scars that parents leave on children? Because now we go over to Shannon, and she's sitting there with Sophie, who's getting ready to go to Baylor College. So excited, Baylor. What is it? It's Baylor. Baylor. That's. I'll tell you one thing. That's a word that will never be used to describe Shannon Storms Bedore because I do not bail on anything.
Do you want to know the original bailer? It was your father. top Texas Christian University, Baylor.
University.
So, yeah, she's getting her cowboy boots ready to go. And Sophie's like, if I don't come back with this southern accent, I'm going to be so mad, Mom. And Shannon's like, oh, she's going to be so Texas. She's already talking about dating a football player.
Oh, yeah, not concerned at all. Hey, Sophie, give me a little yeehaw. And Sophie's like, yeehaw. And Shannon's like, ha! Oh, my God. We have such a happy life together. Wow. Mother and daughter. Best friends. Oh, God, so happy. I'm so happy. Oh, yes. Everything's great.
Yeah, when she gives her the yeehaw, Shannon throws back her head and just guffaws.
Like, isn't everything wonderful in life?
So then let's talk about this book you're writing, Sophie. The book she started last year about being from a family of divorce.
Yeah.
And Sophie's like, well, I have to meet with publishing companies. And Shannon's like, oh, can't wait to read that. Can't wait till the abusive chip-eating section where your father hurt me with slowly eating potato chips in my face. You're including that, right?
Now, I just want to remind you that I did have a very sizable laugh when you did the yeehaw, so I'm not asking for a favorable representation in your book, but I do want to show that I support all your comedy as a good parent would. So there's that, Sophie. Just remember that.
So then we get to another sad scene, which is Shannon crying because she's like, you know, I'm worried that when you get older, you're going to hate me because my parents got divorced and they were always screaming and fighting. I don't know if they got divorced, but she's like, they were always screaming and fighting at each other. And I know the effect that had on me. And Adelaide said that she used to hide her head, you know, just to hide all of this away. And Stella told her, you know, you're going to get older and realize what you did to me. And she's like crying, you know, obviously. And she's like, so I know this had a negative impact. So don't be, you know.
Yeah, she's like,
can't wait to read it.
She's like, I'm just worried that I'm passing my reactiveness onto my kids. I'm like, yeah. I think you have. I think you probably have. So so she was like, so what's the name of this book? Is it going to be called How My Mom Fucked Me Up on Account of Her Cheating Husband? Who moved on with someone else and they take naked photos of each other on Instagram? You can fit that all in there on the cover.
Are you going to call it My Dad Has Mr. Furley Here Now? That would be good.
Are you going to call it My Mom Would Have Been Happier If My Father Stopped Eating Potato Chips in Her Face?
Yeah, and Sophie says it's going to be called How I Weathered the Shannon Storms Bedore.
And then she doesn't laugh. I was like, I thought she was going to like laugh, but she's like, and she just looks at the camera very solemnly like, no, that's actually the name. Yeah.
So Shannon's like, oh, look at my new ring that I got from John. And she's like, oh, is that for Valentine's Day? And then Shannon asks if she's comfortable around John. She's like, yeah, I mean, he's nice. And then Sophie tells us, you know, it doesn't really matter who she's dating, but like, I think my mom needs someone who can support her emotionally and financially. And I just don't think that John can do both of those things.
But it's not really my business.
Yeah.
Wow, I wonder which is the one that's lacking.
Well, we know he's very supportive, so he must be poor or something.
He's got to be poor. He's got to be poor. He's right. Way too invested into Shannon's lemon business, so yeah.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So now we see Bronwyn and Kelly. They go to a store called The White Dress. It's a bridal salon. And Bronwyn's like, well, Kelly, I had a dream about you that you were pregnant. She's like, ew!
Gross!
No! Ew! She doesn't want...
It's like, I don't want to have to do school all over again. And then we see a clip of her trying to do math with Jolie.
Education can be a bitch.
So the lady, one of the dress ladies is like, so I hear you're renewing your vows. And Bron was like, yeah, because when I got married, I was pregnant. So I didn't get to do it then. So, you know, we've been through ups and downs. And I just wanted to have this moment because I really never got to have this moment.
The lady is like,
wow.
Like, so I was just making some small talk, I guess. So...
Okay. She really is. She's like, I really am not asking.
She's like, let me just focus on to Kelly Dodd. So what about you? And Kelly's like, it's my third wedding. Oh. She goes, oh, wow. This small talk is not going well today.
So Bronwyn starts trying on dresses, and she's really positive. She's like, oh my God, love everything about this dress. I don't like the bottom of it, though. It has stuff on it.
It's stupid. So she, like, well, Kelly, yeah, it's a train. Stop talking about the train.
I have a daughter. So then she puts on another dress. She's like, oh my God, I love this one. No, you can see her panties.
I don't like flowers in people's hair. It's stupid. It's stupid. You're all dorks. Weddings are for dorks.
Kelly's a nightmare monster of a human being in this episode. Like, with each episode, she just gets worse.
I hate that I'm laughing so much at what she's saying this season. I was like, Orange County, this is gonna be a real struggle. And so far I'm like, I really like the season, and Kelly's making me laugh. This is not right.
Yeah, she's like a villain that at least makes you laugh, you know. And so Bronwyn's like, you want to try this, Kelly? No. She's like, well, I could see you wearing this with a flower in your hair. She's like, flowers are dumb.
So then Bronwyn's telling the store girl, because the woman who works there is asking about, like, what about the kids, what they're going to wear. And she says that Jacob's going to be wearing a dress to the renewals. And she's like, is that for attention? And
God, Kelly, Jesus. Kelly's like, is he just doing drag for attention? Because you told me he's not transgender and he's not gay. So what is it?
I mean, why else does anyone else do drag on these shows? I mean, everyone here is in drag. So Bronwyn is like, by the way, I wasn't saying that he's doing it for attention. I was just making a joke about the Real Housewives being like drag queens. Anyway, got away from me. So Bronwyn says, she's like, well, you know, his decisions are going to make people hate him without even meeting him. And it really freaks her out. But like, if he stands in his truth, he's going to, like, he'll be okay. And that he's going to be a role model and help so many people, you know. She's like having this like very inspirational moment. And Kelly's like, do you want to get a drink?
Kelly, Jesus Christ, she is the worst. And Bronwyn's like, not even a little bit, Kelly. God, quit her. So then Elizabeth, everybody's just gonna have the saddest fucking scenes today. Okay, so now let's go to Elizabeth's house. She's hanging with her nieces and her mom.
Well, I guess, and they're just all in town at all times. When are they going home?
So they're hanging out with Cassandra, who is her sister's daughter. And Cassandra's like, do you have a mall here? And Liz is like, do we have a mall? Does a cow poop in the forest? What is that, Mom? Cows poop in the forest, it's
not,
right?
It's not a cow. It's a bear, Elizabeth. It's a bear. Okay.
Do cows poop in swimming pools? Where do boy the bears poop? That's what I want to know. If cows going to poop in the swimming pool, where's what?
Elizabeth, malls? I'm not doing this with you again. Bears poop in the forest. Cows poop in the field. Get your metaphor straight.
So Elizabeth tells us that the children, you know, her children are her nieces and nephews because they fulfill that maternal instinct. And, oh, I set them up with $1 million trust, but they don't know that yet, but I did. I gave them $1 million, each of them. I'm rich. I'm rich as hell, I'll tell you.
They don't know it yet because I don't want them to murder me. Just kidding. Just kidding. Just kidding. A little comedy. A little comedy shows from the old days, the cabaret.
Okay. So she goes out on the balcony with her mom to talk privately, and they talk about her sister because apparently her sister ran away from rehab or something.
I don't know. It's like she's because she started doing heroin at 14 and has been basically struggling with drugs all her life, and now she's 40 years old. And I obviously felt terrible for the daughter. I also felt bad for the mom because the mom is basically like, I've spent so many years of my life dealing with this crap. Like, she's like basically like, I want to enjoy life, and she just can't because her daughter is in the throes of addiction.
Yeah. And Elizabeth's like, how could she choose this, mama? How could she choose it? And the mom's like, yeah, I've dealt with enough of her crap. You know, I've had it. Mm-hmm. And Elizabeth is really upset, and she's like, everyone asks me, like, how I have all this money, and I can't help my sister. And the mom is like, well, money doesn't help, you know? She is where she is because that's where she wants to be.
Money can't buy your class. Money can't... Oh, are we not talking about class here? Oh, so sorry. So sorry. I'll see my way out.
So this is like a sensitive conversation about addiction because... You know, it's like you don't, it's a disease, so it's like you don't choose it.
But yeah, that's what I thought was weird about it, that they kept saying, why would she choose this? Why would she choose this? I'm like, I don't know if she really has that much control over the situation.
Yeah, but then the family gets so upset because it is a lot for them to deal with. You know, it's a lot for your family to deal with. It's just really rough all the way around, you know? And so Liz is crying, and she's like, I just hope we can play dress up with again because I save all of my clothes for her. And she starts crying, and I'm like, wow, this is the funnest episode I've ever seen of this show. I know, it's everyone is having just a laugh riot in this episode.
So now Gina goes to... Now it's like another scene at Elizabeth's house. So Gina shows up and she like knocks on the door. And Elizabeth's like, hey, here, welcome to my house. Don't walk through that door. You can't. Because guess what? Only the top of it's open. It's a Dutch door. It's a Dutch door. How about that? How about that?
And then Shannon comes over and she does it again. She's like, look, it's top door. Isn't that fun? Isn't that hilarious?
And Shannon...
Shannon's like, huh.
Yeah.
Wow, I just saw a sign that says enter at your own risk, so...
Shannon, who would never call someone's house sad or depressing, is like, enters this house with the most judgy eyes of all time. She's like, oh, I see that your door opens only halfway a little bit, huh? Well, that's nice. That's a nice touch there. Oh, and you have a garage. Oh, is there a Ferrari? Is there a Ferrari? Oh. And Elizabeth's like, no, but I'm thinking about buying a Ferrari. She's like, oh, well. My mom had a Ferrari growing up, so, yeah, think about that.
Well, I'm going to buy a Ferrari and put my paint the side of it, and then I'm going to give it away to a poor person. And Shannon's like, nice. Shannon gets that really tight Joker smile on her face as she looks around the house, and she goes, this neighborhood. And Elizabeth's like, you lived right down the street, right? She goes,
oh, yes, at the end. We didn't have boardwalk. We just had... grass.
She's like, oh, one of the bougie places, huh? And Gina's cracking up. She's
I guess it's like that saying, you know, the grass is always greener. Well, I guess it technically is always greener if you don't have grass to begin with, but we had grass. We had grass, yes.
Yeah, that good old saying, the grass is always greener when you're the richer person on the block. So I win.
The grass is always greener, like, when it receives the runoff of the water that was used to wash the Ferrari. Yes.
The Ferrari with paint on it that was going to go to a poor person?
Lars was a green
Ferrari. More expensive Ferrari.
Yeah, so. it was a green Ferrari. It's called the grass model.
And Gina's like, this is the good part of living in Orange County. Watching the primal part of him come out, like, who has the bigger Ferrari and the bigger beach house? I think there's going to be a match to see who's the richest bitch in Newport.
And then Elizabeth's like, okay, everyone, we got salmon, we got whitefish, and we got chicken. And Shannon goes, oh, you get that at the market? Like, where else would she have gotten the whitefish and the salmon, the chicken, Shannon? Well, no, she went and she fished. She got the salmon and the whitefish from the ocean and just went into the countryside and picked up chicken for herself.
Well, look here, this is my patio. She goes, oh, wow, a patio on a public sidewalk. How nice for you. She's like, well, I've got broccolini and a superfood salad. And she's got it. She's got the stickers put on the plates, and I'm guessing it's for labeling, you know, so you would know what you're eating or whatever. Right. But Shannon goes, oh, well, she's put out a very nice spread, all with the price tags on it, so we know how many pounds she bought and how much it costs.
That's something to think about while we sit here and have our skin pulverized by UV rays on her patio.
Not the kind of luncheon I would throw, but A for effort, whatever your name is, lady on the poor side of the street, okay?
You skinny bitches, will you just eat my lunch already? I went to Pavilions for this.
So, Shannon's like, well, I don't know about skinny, but I'm probably a bitch. And Elizabeth's like, oh,
you. That's funny. That's some funny stuff, Shannon Bedore. So, Elizabeth's talking about how she thinks that Gina should be more sensitive to Bronwyn. And because Gina's saying how she declined the invitation to go to the vow renewal in Palm Springs. And Shannon, of course, is all in a fuss still, because she's still mad about being called a liar. And she also feels like she's in this position where she doesn't really want to go. But, you know, Bronwyn invited all the kids and the kids are excited to go. So now she's like, well, I don't want to look like a dumbass and be like, well, I got into a girl fight, so therefore I can't go. So, you know, what else is there to do but just to load up on whitefish and salmon, and I know exactly how much I will be doing because of these handy labels here. How many calories is that?
And she's like, I don't know what Bronwyn's expecting, but you called me a liar. So time will tell, but the liar story has to stop. And then Gina starts talking about her day with the lawyer and, you know, the domestic violence stuff and the Marcy's Law and giving the speech and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And she's crying, you know, because it's really upsetting. And she's talking about how it's Sienna's birthday and she invited him to come. And she's going to put a smile on her face and, you know, take that picture. But it's really hard to go through all of that. And she's like, you know, I got to deal with it eventually. And I'm not very good at dealing with things, you know, like you, Shannon, you're very good at dealing with things. She's like, if it's hiding the Bluetooth remote control for the Bluetooth chandelier so David can't ride it up and down while he's judging me with potato chips in his mouth, then yes, I am.
I mean, I wouldn't say that I'm good at dealing with things. I mean, sure. Do I know how to water my lawn so it gets extra green, you know, compared to an area that's just pure boardwalk? Yes, perhaps that. But, like, I mean, no, I'm not good at dealing with things at all. Of course not.
So then Shannon starts talking about Sophie's book, you know, and how that's been upsetting her because she's like, oh, my God, now I'm going to see how much I affected my own kids, you know, from things I was affected by with my parents. And Elizabeth's like, well, do you think her writing and getting involved with feelings, you know, she wants to stop the pattern? Now, here's what I would suggest. Put it to music, sit on the piano, and serve some dinner at the same time.
We'll call it Mommy Ruined Me, a new cabaret special, Elizabeth's Theater.
So then they talk about how they just hope their daughters end this stronger. We see fancy cars speeding, super douchey cars speeding all around. Yeah. And this another Elizabeth scene. It just goes from Elizabeth scene to Elizabeth scene to Elizabeth scene in this episode. Yeah.
And Kelly and Shannon are... Elizabeth's at like a some sort of car dealership sort of place. It's not really. It's like a private dealership. And Kelly and Shannon are driving en route. And once again... we're getting just little touches of coronavirus. The producers are really funny the way they are introducing this into the season. So we have a discussion between Kelly and Shannon. And Kelly's like, coronavirus? Is that like the super flu? You know, they say, don't touch your face. Don't touch your face. Hey, stupid. Don't touch your face. Stop touching your face, stupid. Stop touching your face. I was like expecting Kelly to like grab Shannon's hand and just start slapping her face with it. Stop touching your face, stupid. Stop touching your face, stupid. Oh, coronavirus.
Yeah, she would. And Shannon's like, come on, that's too bad because I touch my face all the time trying to get my eyeliner right or whatever. And so they go to this Ferrari dealer and it's called Classy, but it's spelled K-L-A-S-S-E. Just so OC.
That is actually very classy. Touched my face. Oh, God. Sometimes I touch my face just to know if I can still feel. Ah, yep, still feeling.
Mm. So they go in, and Elizabeth's talking to the guy, and she's like, "All right, don't I deserve a divorce car? I'm buying a midlife crisis car. It's Newport. Doesn't everyone have a midlife crisis car?" And Kelly goes, "I don't." And then it cuts to Kelly's G-Wagon.
Her, like, expensive-ass G-Wagon. So now they're, like, looking at cars, and Shannon's like, she already has, like, pre-coronavirus symptoms. Although she actually does eventually have it, for real. But, of course, she's just, like, coughing around. And which is now, I think, by the way, hearing people cough now is, like, an immense trigger for all of America. So that was so rude of the producers to put that in. So then Elizabeth's like,
she has the judgy virus. Like, she hates Liz. She hates her guts. And she's like, yeah. And she has to sit here through another scene about how much money Liz has. You know? Even though it's the typical Housewives season one trope. It's the new housewife. Let's watch her get a really expensive car.
I know. And Elizabeth talks like she's from some sort of, like, movie from the 50s. She's like, "Oh, look at this car. Start her up. Does she purr like a kitty cat?"
Cars turn me on. Maybe I'm substituting for something I'm not getting in real life. I wish Jimmy was faster, like a car. Did you get that? So he was faster.
Man, I never was more horny than when I watched Cars 2 by Pixar. Wow.
You got a stick shift here? I could use a stick shift.
Ah, Radiator Springs. Now that's what I call a sex palace.
So they start talking about Palm Springs, and Elizabeth's like, "We should drive this Rari." Oh no, Kelly goes, "We should drive this Rari to Palm Springs."
Yeah.
And so Liz asks Shannon if she's going, and Shannon's like, "Well, my kids are going, so I don't know. My kids are.
I'll let that one trail off. So I'll just say it again. Well, my kids are going, and should I cough for emphasis?"
And Elizabeth's like, "Well, I think we should support her." And Kelly's like, "Oh, we support her. I just asked her out for a drink." Oh.
And I support her too. I. Someone's like, "Is someone trying to start one of the cars?" I support her too.
You know, I picked her up when she was so drunk on the plane that she couldn't move. Remember that?
And Kelly's like, "Well, do we have to, like, not drink when we're around her? Because we like to get MC hammered."
And Shannon just looks away like, not me. I never drink. I never drink. No. No.
So, and Liz is like, "Well, we should make a little bit of an effort, probably." And Kelly's like, "No, I'm not a quitter." God.
Wow. So Elizabeth is disappointed in Kelly's behavior because Bronwyn reminds Elizabeth of her sister. And, you know, obviously we know those issues there. So she doesn't like Kelly's reaction. But enough of that, because now it's time to drive these cars. So Kelly gets in the Ferrari with Elizabeth. And Elizabeth's like, "Here we go." And Kelly's like, "I don't have the helmet. Oh, I don't have the helmet. Oh."
You got to love Kelly. She wants a helmet and a car with a roof on it, but wouldn't put her helmet on when they went dune bucking.
Or wear a mask.
So Kelly.
Or wear a mask. She's like, "Yeah. It's very important for me that I have something to have to protect me. Something to protect me in case I get into a situation that might potentially kill me, but not a mask."
Yeah. So Shannon's left alone, which she's not really happy about. She gives them a tight smile, like, "Have fun in that car while I stand here like an idiot." And so they're off driving, and Shannon, the guys bring around a car for Shannon. They're like, "Yeah, we've got a surprise for you." She's like, "Oh, it's a stupid car. I just know it."
And I was expecting it to be just another sports car for her. And the guy comes around the corner in this tiny little, like, Ferrari Mario Kart thing. Yeah. It just comes speeding around the corner. And Shannon's looking at it like, "Well, I don't know if I appreciate this tiny car, because what's that they say about tiny cars? Tiny cars, big waistlines, it makes you look... Does this car make me look big? Because I just got down to my goal size."
So she gets in it and has, like, a wacky Shannon scene. She's like, "It's tiny!" And she tells us, "I see flashy cars. And I'm like, Flash, look at me. Look at my big penis driving this car. I do not need a big penis. Or a big vagina." Guys, nobody wants a big vagina.
And then she's like driving, and she's like, "Guys, I can't stop this. I can't stop. You better get over here. I can't stop. I can't stop it, guys. I can't stop it. Bowser threw a shell at me, guys. I gotta get out. There's a shell.
So Kelly and Elizabeth come back, and Kelly's like, I say buy that bad boy. Yeah, buy it. It's like, well, let's look at the numbers. I know it's bougie, but who cares? I'm rich.
Whatever, no grass. Enjoy yeah. that.
I was cracking up seeing Shannon in that tiny Ferrari. You know, sometimes the Shannon wacky scenes are so like, I'm going to be wacky, that I'm like, okay, Shannon. But in this case, I really, there's something about seeing Shannon Bedore in a tiny go-kart that really worked for me.
They really made it work.
Yeah. So
So Bronwyn and Gina are in a sadder car. Now it's time for a sadder car ride.
Sad car. Yeah. And so they get into Bronwyn's minivan, and Bronwyn's like, this is awkward, right? This is so awkward, right? And Gina's like, well, you know what? I really appreciate you letting me in, okay? And if I had known that you were, like, what you were going through, I obviously would not have thrown the alcohol thing in your face, you know?
Yeah, she's like, I wouldn't have done that. I would have thrown water in your face, all right? She's like, nobody told me.
And Bronwyn's like, yeah, well, I'm lucky I have Sean because he's been managing me for so long. Like, he's really good at protecting my image. You know, he would just, no one would notice because Sean would take me out of a situation. You know, I mean, actually, he started going to Al-Anon because, you know, he needs it too. And Gina's like, well, I don't want to get involved in your marriage, but I'm glad to hear that because, like, he has been enabling you for a really long time.
Yeah, and then they just start talking about all the stuff, and Bronwyn says that the split that she had with Sean, you know, a few years ago was due to this sobriety, like, whatever the issues are surrounding her sobriety or lack thereof. And Bronwyn tells her about how she was having babies to stay sober, et cetera. And then they're like, they arrive at AA, and so they like they park their. It's like a very heavy scene, and they park their car for the AA meeting, and then it's like coming up, and you see Emily saying, "I thought we should get an ice cream truck." Like, wow, that's that's a transition.
Yeah. So next we're at Emily's house, and guess who's here? It's Lizzie.
2020 is a weird year because I saw Lizzie and I was happy. Is that weird?
Well, Lizzie will forever be known as the person who made Tambor run from that table right. to me.
Exactly. I feel like Lizzie, in her first year, I liked her, and I felt like she had so much potential. And then somehow in her second year, things just got sad and boring. Maybe it's because her marriage was falling apart, and so she didn't want to like broadcast that. So instead, she just gave us shit. But like, I would actually not be opposed to a Lizzie comeback if she, like, well... There's no Tamara. Like, I would really like Lizzie to go after Tamara some more, you know?
Yeah. So she comes over with a mannequin, and Emily's like, we're gonna have a threesome. New hip. And she's like, well, we need to go walking. How is your hip, by the way? And she's like, oh, it's better. Oh my god, the suit. My boobies wouldn't stay in that suit. So they're basically gonna be doing a plus-sized suit line, yeah. right, for Emily.
And Emily goes, I met Lizzie 5 years ago, and we instantly clicked. She's beautiful. She has money. I was like, oh, okay. So that's what it takes.
Yeah. She goes, I don't know anybody who doesn't like Lizzie, except for Tamara. And then we see the clip of Lizzie telling Tamara, you're crap, Tamara. Okay, you are the most insecure woman I've ever met. And then Tamara getting up and running away. You will never see me again.
It was actually such an amazing moment. And I don't think that Lizzie gets enough credit for that, because that was amazing. Like, we always are like, oh, we just wish someone would tell Tamara that she's full of crap. It's like it happened. Lizzie did it for us.
So Emily's like, well, I'm really glad I'm doing this swimsuit line because I was always a really good artist and I always wanted to go to fashion school. I just didn't get around to it.
Yeah. And Emily's been getting a lot of messages from women who like are thanking Emily for just being herself and, you know, like, you know, not trying to be like a toothpick or anything. And she even got a message from a 12-year-old who said she was inspired by Emily, et cetera, et cetera. So they're basically like just talking about putting together this photo shoot for this bathing suit. And Emily's like, should we have an ice cream truck at the photo shoot? To which I say, yes, always an ice cream shoot at the photo shoot.
Yeah. And Lizzie's like, well, it has to be a cute ice cream truck, not like some creepy Tamara Sun ice cream truck. Okay.
Oh, so good to laugh again.
Bronwyn and Gina have just gotten out of their AA meeting, and now they're going to get coffee. They're at Milk and Honey, and Gina's like, I want a latte I've never had before. And Bronwyn orders hers with oat milk. And Gina goes, oh my God, I thought you said oat milk. Like, what is that? Like some new OC thing? Oat milk? That's hilarious. She's like, it is oat milk.
Yeah.
Oh. And it's, all right, I'll try that too.
And it's like, it's pretty much across the country now. My God, that's crazy. Wait, so milk. Are you talking about the stuff that comes out of a cow's udder? That's crazy. You drink that? That's crazy.
So Gina tells us that in the AA meeting, the leader of the meeting was like, okay, well, we need a leader. And it's like, so I nominated Bronwyn. Like, the last person you want to bring to AA with you.
Ronnie O'Toole, he'll lead the whole meeting. He'll do it.
It's like, this isn't karaoke, okay?
I know.
You don't just volunteer your friends to do shit.
So apparently at the meeting, Bronwyn apologized to Gina and, you know, talked about, like, took full accountability for her, what she was doing. And it meant a lot to Gina. And Bronwyn basically was saying that she was trying, was trying to just, like, get to Gina and that she's very sorry and she won't do it ever again.
Well, I really appreciate that, and I accept it, and I'm also sorry, and, like, you know, I just want you to know that that labyrinth walk thing you went on me with, and it went with me on in the desert was, like, one of the most striking moments of my life, and then we see that, and then bonding in the desert, and Gina's like, yeah, you were genuinely there for me, and you were sober, Bronwyn. She's like, no, I wasn't. I was drinking in my room that day.
Oh my God. Well, how about that time we took a train down to San Diego and we went to the club? You were sober then. She's like, you literally saw me drinking, actually, in that case. Oh my God.
Oh my God.
And Bronwyn's like, yeah, we just judged each other without really even knowing each other, and I think that was a problem. Actually, I mean, that's a good way to look at it to move forward, but Gina really just didn't like you. That's kind of what happened.
Yeah. I thought it was actually a really nice scene, and it was really lovely. And they are, like, Gina's going to come to the vow renewal now, and they are, like, and on top of that, Gina also promises not to drink at the renewal, which was considerate, and it was like they actually had a really lovely, mature, moment of growth.
Yeah. So then we go to Gina's house because it's time for Sienna's birthday party. And she's making spaghetti and she's worried because Matt's coming over. And she's like, oh, my God, how am I going to broach this subject about, you know, the enormous getting to testify?
Yeah. Oh, I was going to say the enormous stock pot. How am I going to talk about this enormous stock pot? That was the thing that I kept focusing on in the scene. Well, it was a very, like, sad and emotional scene. So I was like, cannot deal with another serious scene. Must focus on something. So I just focused on her enormous, enormous stock pot on her stovetop. Because I was like, is there a cafeteria in the other room? I don't understand. Why do you have such an enormous stock pot?
There's a lot of spaghetti being made, man. That spaghetti
is going to go for a few weeks. I mean, I know she's got to feed a lot of mouths, but, like, that's like an army. That was a stock pot for an army. And, yes, that is what I focus on in this scene, the giant, giant stock pot.
Yeah, well, it was basically an extremely sad scene in a string of extremely sad scenes. So Matt comes over with his new girlfriend, and the kids love her, which is cute. And, basically, we see they're all working. You know, it's a little awkward, especially for Travis. He's like, great, this is super fun. But it's sad because the kids have newly divorced parents and the kids really miss him. And, you know, he's bonding with the kids or whatever. But it's intercut with Gina talking about how sad this is. And he could go to jail, you know, for what happened. And if he went to jail, how horrible that would be for the kids. And,
well, because she's like, yeah. Well, because she's decided that she's going to make a statement. She is going to issue a statement. And which I'm really proud of her for doing that, because that is really hard. And because she is like, you know, it would have been another situation where he could sort of just get off the hook. He always gets to brush things off. And, you know, someone always comes and saves him, and she's not going to be that person anymore. So she is going to stand in her truth, as Bronwyn would say. And as a result, you know, it could affect his future. It could affect his ability to see the kids, which is why she's really sad, because this may be the last birthday that Sienna has for a while with, you know, the whole family together.
Yeah, and she's like, you know, I had to do it because someone's always swooping in to save him, and he needs to know I'm not that person anymore. Yeah. I was like, good for you.
Yeah, for sure, good for her. I'm really glad that she did that, and I'm glad that she and Bronwyn sort of settled their beef, because it was a really stupid beef.
Yeah, so that was a pretty sad episode.
Serious episode. Well, usually when there's like a really serious episode, that means there's going to be some like crazy shit in the next episode. Usually. So, because usually that's like, they need to almost like legitimize, like, this is a proper television show that is worthy of being on television airwaves. And then the next week is like, we're all drunk and we're fighting.
Yeah. So I guess time will tell, everybody. But in the meantime, that's done. And we will see you tonight for Salt Lake City.
Yeah, we're so excited. Go to watchercrappins.com or onlocationlive.com/watchercrappins to get your tickets. Show starts 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific.
We'll see you later, everybody. Thanks for being here.
Bye.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors. Ain't No Thing Like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Dana C. Dana Do. She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Itchels.
Let's run some errands with Emily Ahrens.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay. Higher than high res, she's Lauren Perez.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
One day you're Rachel Zinn, the next day you're out.
He makes us squee, Richie D. There ain't no problem that Sarah Salvia can't solve ya. The Bay Area betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Nancy, cease and desisto.
Let's rev our pistons for Amanda and Kristen.
Better than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie.
Let's give them a kissa, it's Austin and Marissa.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva. Erica, 500 days of summers.
We will, Joanna Rockland you.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters. Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender. No one makes us feel well like Megan Cap Sewell. Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.